Okay, ready to dive into some positive vibes. You've sent over Positive Vibes Only, a student's guide to avoiding negative people, which is super relevant to like what you've got going on right now. So we're going beyond just surface-level advice here. We're pulling out the most actionable tactics for you.
What I find fascinating about this guide is that it doesn't just tell you to like be positive. It breaks down how to actually minimize negativity in a student's life, which can be pretty different from trying to do it as, say, a seasoned professional.
Totally. And it starts with getting real about recognizing those negative behaviors. We're not talking about just having a bad day, but like those recurring patterns that can really bring you down. Like, remember that coworker I told you about who could like suck the energy out of any room?
Ah, yes. The enthusiasm black hole. This guide would definitely categorize that as a negative influence. And it gets even more specific, outlining things like constant complaining, passive aggression, even like undermining behavior and drama seeking.
It does. And they give this example about a classmate who's always giving like backhanded compliments. Like, oh, I could never pull off that outfit. It takes real confidence. It's like, are you trying to be nice or?
Exactly. Classic passive aggression. And from a psychological standpoint, the guide is smart to call these behaviors out early on. Our brains are naturally wired to focus on threats. It's a survival mechanism from our cave-dwelling days.
Right.
But in the 21st century, it makes us dwell on the negative. That's negativity bias at play.
So even if someone means well, our brain might fixate on like one critical comment. No wonder it's so easy to feel bogged down by negativity. But the guide doesn't stop at just identifying the problem. It highlights the tangible ways negativity can impact students specifically.
Right, this isn't just about, feeling good. It has real consequences. They talk about academic performance taking a hit, future career prospects being dimmed, even physical health being affected by prolonged exposure to negativity. Have you ever experienced that kind of like drain in your own student life?
Oh, absolutely. I remember this one study group I was in. Every time we met, this one person would just complain about the professor, the workload, everything. And, negativity can be contagious. I found myself dreading those meetings, my own mood tanking, and my productivity along with it. It definitely had an impact.
Makes sense if you think about it. Stress hormones like cortisol don't discriminate between a real threat and just being constantly surrounded by negative vibes. Over time, that takes a toll. But the guide offers hope, and it's not just about avoiding those people altogether, which isn't always realistic, especially in like college or at work.
Totally. And this is where it gets really practical. The guide dives into the importance of setting boundaries, which I think could be a game changer, but also, honestly, a little tricky to navigate.
It is a skill.
Yeah.
And like any skill, it can be learned. And the guide breaks it down beautifully. They offer tips on how to limit interactions with negative people without being rude, politely declining invitations that you know will drain you, and being assertive, not aggressive in your communication. And what I find interesting is how the guide connects boundary setting to emotional intelligence.
Which makes sense, right? It's not just about putting up like walls. It's about understanding your own emotional needs
Right.
and being mindful of others' emotions too, even when they're being negative.
Exactly. It's like they're saying, you're not responsible for other people's negativity, but you are responsible for how you respond to it. And sometimes the most responsible thing you can do is create some distance.
So true. And the guide even gives you a script for a boundary-setting conversation, which I thought was genius.
Yeah.
Like having those words ready to go can make it so much easier to actually like stand up for yourself.
Absolutely. And it ties into this bigger theme of the guide, which is that you don't have to be stuck with the negativity you're facing. You have the power to actively cultivate more positivity in your life.
Which is awesome. And that's where the guy's advice goes beyond just avoiding the bad stuff. It's about actively creating the good vibes. And one of the things they talk about is surrounding yourself with positive people, almost like building a positivity posse.
Love that. And they offer really concrete strategies for doing this, even within the context of being a student, where you might not have like complete control over your classmates or coworkers.
Yeah. They talk about joining clubs or organizations that align with your interests. It's like, what are you passionate about? Find your people. They also talk about volunteering.
Which can be such a powerful way to connect with people who are making a positive impact. Plus, there's something about helping others that just naturally boosts your own mood too.
Totally. And even just like being open to friendships with people outside your usual social circle. It's like you never know where you're going to find your next positive influence. And this part really hit home for me. The guide also talks about social media, which, let's be honest, can be a breeding ground for negativity.
Especially with that negativity bias we talked about, algorithms are practically designed to feed it.
Exactly. So the guide encourages you to be mindful of your like social media diet? Are you following accounts that consistently make you feel bad? Time to hit that unfollow button. It's about curating your online experience just like you would curate your physical environment.
I love that analogy. Digital decluttering for the win.
Right. Out with the negativity, in with the inspiration. But they take it a step further too. The guide talks about actively seeking out accounts that uplift and inspire you. Whether it's motivational speakers, artists sharing their creative process, or organizations doing good in the world.
It's about using social media as a tool for connection and personal growth, not just like mindless scrolling or comparison.
So true. And this next part is where things get really interesting for me. We've talked about how to spot negativity and create some distance. But the guide doesn't stop there. It dives headfirst into cultivating a more positive mindset. And it all starts with gratitude.
Which might sound a little cheesy at first, but the science behind it is seriously impressive.
Okay, so tell me more. Because honestly, when I hear gratitude journal, my inner teenager wants to roll their eyes.
I hear you. But the guide actually addresses that. It connects gratitude to positive psychology, which has shown that regularly practicing gratitude can lead to increased happiness, improved relationships, even better sleep.
Wait, seriously? Better sleep just from thinking about what you're grateful for? Sign me up.
Right. It sounds almost too good to be true. But it goes back to that negativity bias. Gratitude is like a muscle we can train to, like, counteract it. Yeah. By consciously looking for things to be thankful for, even small things, we're rewiring our brains to notice and appreciate the good instead of just fixating on the negative.
So instead of our brain being a negativity magnet, gratitude helps it become a positivity magnet. I like the sound of that.
Me too. And the guide offers simple exercises you can try, like at the end of each day, jotting down three things you're grateful for, or even just taking a moment to appreciate a beautiful sunset, a delicious meal, a kind gesture from a stranger. It's about finding those little sparks of joy throughout your day.
See, that doesn't sound so intimidating. It's like building a positivity habit, one small step at a time. And speaking of building, the guide also talks about visualization, which I've always found kind of fascinating. It's like, does thinking about success actually make it more likely to happen?
Well, it's not exactly magic, but the guide presents visualization as a powerful tool for motivation and focus. They suggest creating a vision board, you know, with images and quotes that represent your goals. Have you ever tried that?
I've always wanted to. It seems like such a fun and creative way to get clear on what you want, like a visual representation of your dreams. But is it more than just a fun art project? Does it actually, like, work?
The idea is that by consistently visualizing your goals, you're essentially planting those seeds in your subconscious mind. And the more you focus on those images and feelings of success, the more likely you are to take action towards making them a reality.
Interesting. Because that ties back to something we talked about earlier, the guide's emphasis on taking action.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to just avoid the negative or even just think positive thoughts. You have to actively create the positive changes you want to see in your life, and maybe visualization helps with that.
Exactly. It's about aligning your thoughts and actions towards a desired outcome. It's like giving your subconscious mind a clear roadmap to follow.
So it's like a mental rehearsal for success. And then the guide talks about affirmations, which are those positive statements you repeat to yourself, right?
Oh.
I remember trying those out a while back.
And did you find them helpful?
Honestly, I kind of felt silly at first, like I was just talking to myself in the mirror. But then I realized it's not really about the words themselves. It's about, like, shifting that internal dialogue.
Precisely. Affirmations are about challenging that negative self-talk, that inner critic we all have, and replacing it with more empowering beliefs. The guide gives examples like, I am capable, I am worthy of success, I'm strong and resilient. It's about reminding yourself of your inherent worth and potential.
It's like giving your inner critic a pep talk instead of letting it run the show.
Exactly. And the more you repeat those positive affirmations, the more you start to believe them. It's like rewiring your brain for self-compassion and confidence.
Okay. So we've covered gratitude, visualization, affirmations. Is there anything else this positivity toolkit is missing?
Well, there's one more powerful element the guide emphasizes, spreading positivity to others.
Oh, I love that. Because it's kind of a domino effect, right? The more positivity you put out into the world, the more it comes back to you.
Precisely. The guide suggests that by being kind, compassionate, and encouraging to others, we not only brighten their day, but we also reinforce our own positive mindset. It's a win-win situation.
It really is. And you know what I find interesting? The guide doesn't just tell you to be positive for the sake of being positive.
Mm-hmm.
It emphasizes that true positivity is about more than just, like, happy feelings. It's about living a more meaningful life.
And that's such a powerful distinction, because it's not about denying the negative or pretending everything is perfect. It's about approaching life's challenges with a positive attitude, a belief in yourself, and a commitment to making a difference.
Exactly. It's about focusing on what you can control, like your thoughts and actions, and choosing to feed the good, even in difficult situations.
And that's where the guide's advice goes beyond just like surface level tips. It's about cultivating a deeper sense of resilience, purpose, and connection.
Totally. It's about recognizing that even amidst the chaos and negativity, there's always something to be grateful for, something to learn, and something to look forward to.
And it's about sharing that positivity with others, because when you lift others up, you lift yourself up too.
It's so true. But before we get carried away on a wave of optimism, there's one more important point the guide makes that I want to touch on. It's something they call staying mindful of negativity. What do you think they mean by that?
Well, it might seem a bit contradictory at first, right? We've been talking about focusing on the positive, and now they're telling us to be mindful of the negative.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, haven't we done enough of that already?
Right. But here's the thing. The guide isn't saying we should dwell on negativity or let it consume us. It's about being aware of the subtle ways negativity can creep back into our lives, even when we're trying our best to cultivate positivity.
So it's about being vigilant, like a positivity protector, always on the lookout for negativity ninjas trying to sneak in.
Exactly. It's about paying attention to our thoughts, our environments, and the media we consume. Are we letting that negative self-talk creep back in? Are we surrounding ourselves with people who drain our energy? Are we constantly bombarded with negativity?
So it's not just about avoiding the big, obvious sources of negativity. It's about being aware of those little things that might be dragging us down without us even realizing it.
Precisely. And the guide suggests that by becoming more mindful of negativity, we can catch it earlier and choose how we respond to it. It's about taking ownership of our thoughts and emotions and not letting negativity dictate our experience.
That's a really powerful message. And you know, it's even more powerful. The guide doesn't just tell you to stay mindful of negativity. It also encourages you to actively seek out joy. It's like the cherry on top of the positivity sundae.
It is. Because here's the thing. Even amidst all the challenges and negativity in the world, there's always joy to be found. It might be hidden sometimes, but it's there.
So how do we find it? How do we tap into that joy?
The guide talks about simple things like practicing gratitude, connecting with loved ones, spending time in nature, even just allowing yourself to laugh and have fun. It's about remembering those things that light us up from the inside out.
I love that. It's about making time for the things that bring us joy, even when life gets busy or stressful.
Exactly. And it's not selfish. It's essential. Because when we feel joy, when we feel good, we have so much more to give to others.
Totally. It's like that whole put on your own oxygen mask first analogy. You can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Okay.
You have to take care of your own well-being first, which includes making space for joy.
Exactly. And that leads us to the guide's final piece of advice, which is all about creating healthy habits that support a positive lifestyle.
Okay, tell me more about this, because I feel like healthy habits can sometimes sound a bit vague or overwhelming.
Totally, but the guide breaks it down into manageable steps. It's not about overhauling your entire life overnight. It's about making small, sustainable changes that add up over time.
So what kind of changes are we talking about?
Well, they talk about things like getting enough sleep, which we know is crucial for mood regulation and energy levels. They also talk about nourishing your body with healthy foods and staying hydrated.
Which makes sense, because when you're running on junk food and caffeine, it's going to be that much harder to stay positive.
Right. Exactly. And they also talk about the importance of moving your body, whether it's going for a walk, hitting the gym, or finding a type of exercise you genuinely enjoy.
Because exercise is like a natural mood booster.
Right.
It releases endorphins, reduces stress, and just makes you feel good.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be about punishing yourself at the gym. Find something you love, whether it's dancing, swimming, hiking, or just putting on your favorite music and moving your body around your living room.
I love that.
Yeah.
So it's about finding those little pockets of joy and self-care throughout your day, even if it's just for a few minutes at a time, because it all adds up, right?
It absolutely does. And the guide emphasizes that self-care isn't selfish, it's essential, especially when you're trying to cultivate a more positive and fulfilling life.
Totally. Because when you feel good, you're more likely to show up as your best self for yourself and for others. But before we wrap up this part, there's one more thing I want to touch on. We spent all this time talking about like external negativity, you know, those people and situations that can like really bring us down. But what about that inner critic we all have?
Yeah.
You know, that voice in our head that tells us we're not good enough or smart enough or talented enough.
Ah, yes. The inner critic. That's a deep dive all on its own. And it's interesting that you bring this up because even though the guide focuses primarily on external factors, I think a lot of the principles we've discussed can be applied to dealing with that internal negativity as well.
Right. It's like we can try to block all the negativity in the world, but that inner critic is still running the show. It's going to be an uphill battle to cultivate, like true positivity.
Exactly. It's like trying to build a house on a foundation of self-doubt. So how do we address that? How do we silence that inner critic and cultivate a more supportive and compassionate inner voice?
Well, if we think about it, the inner critic is a lot like a negative friend, right? Always there whispering doubts and fears, holding us back from going after what we truly want.
I love that analogy. And just like we talked about setting boundaries with negative people in our lives, maybe we can learn to set boundaries with that inner critic as well.
Right. Like we can acknowledge those negative thoughts without letting them, you know, control us. We can choose to focus on more positive and empowering self-talk, like those affirmations we were discussing earlier.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our thoughts are not always facts. Just because that inner critic says something doesn't make it true. We have the power to challenge those negative narratives and choose a more supportive and compassionate inner dialogue.
It's like giving that inner critic a taste of its own medicine, right? Hey, yeah, thanks for sharing, but I'm not buying what you're selling today.
Exactly. And the more you practice this, the easier it becomes. It's like building a muscle. The more you challenge those negative thoughts and replace them with positive ones, the stronger your self-compassion and confidence will become.
So in a way, this whole journey of cultivating positivity is about becoming your own best friend.
I love that. It's about treating yourself with the same kindness, compassion, and encouragement that you would offer to someone you love dearly.
Because we all deserve that, right?
Absolutely. We all deserve to feel loved and supported, especially by ourselves.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. We've covered so much ground today, from recognizing negative behaviors and setting healthy boundaries to cultivating a more positive mindset and even like taming that inner critic.
It is a lot to process, but I think the key takeaway here is that we have more power than we realize to create a more positive and fulfilling life for ourselves.
And it all starts with making a conscious choice to focus on the good, to surround ourselves with positive influences, and to treat ourselves with kindness and compassion.
Beautifully said. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination. There will be ups and downs. But with each step we take towards positivity, we create a ripple effect that impacts not only our own lives, but the lives of those around us.
That's a beautiful thought to end on. So to our listener, as you continue on your own positivity journey, remember that you are capable, you are worthy, and you are not alone.
We're all in this together, spreading good vibes and making the world a brighter place, one positive thought at a time.